been a little while, but we are back. Welcome into Finsider Radio. This is the Jake and Josh Show, and much like when we left you guys last week, there was snow on the ground. Here we are, up in the Northeast, and there is still snow coming down. Joshua, the NFL draft is a week away. How are we going to get there when we have to sit here and look at the snow for another week?
Well, that might just be something up north because I don't have any snow here, thankfully. But how have we made it through this far? I mean, and we've been talking about this for now 4 months now since the season started. And, you know, every week it's just the same argument. And I'm just so thankful that next week it's all going to come to an end.
Oh, we're getting to the crazy part. And if we want to, this is something I think we should add to our maybe iPhone calendars, phone calendars, I guess I should say. Where we kind of throw darts at a dartboard of what time or what trends are going to be brought up inside of the Dolphins Twitter draft community, because we've heard Kyle Pitts, we've heard Devonta Smith, we've heard Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle's now a thing. So we're going to get into all of that. Ryan Fitzpatrick felt like an asshole. I kind of want to talk about that a little bit. And hey, Josh, a good way to start this, though, is Zach Thomas, this day in 1996, was drafted by the Miami Dolphins. And all I can think about is the Dolphins could surely use a middle linebacker like that right now.
Yeah, I mean, we can't sit here and, you know, discredit Benardrick McKinney and that trade they made, but we could definitely use Zach Thomas. And next weekend, you know, he tweeted that out, and I said to him, you know, could you be making that pick that is the next Zach Thomas? So the Dolphins definitely need a linebacker, and it's going to be interesting to see who Big E, you know, who that name is that Big E calls when he's on that stage, because that's a hell of a moment for a fan like him.
You know what? I think if I was him, I'd just call my own name. I mean, wouldn't you want to get drafted by the Dolphins? You get that contract signed. I mean, you got the final say, technically speaking, right? If he's going up there to say it. But no, in reality, that's exciting. And you know, I think Rashad Jones is the first guy I kind of go back to when I think about fifth-round picks. That's kind of been it. Zach Thomas and Rashad Jones are the two that really stick out to me. Josh, there's some new drama going around. It's new old drama. As the Who once said, meet the new boss. It's the same as the old boss. And that's people panicking over Devontae Smith and him basically being, like you wrote here in a rundown, a pretzel stick.
Yeah, this is the talk of the town. And I mean, we've talked about it enough and how interested we believe the Dolphins might be in Devontae Smith. News came out today that Albert Breer reported that Devontae Smith is officially 6'166". I think that was the measurements at the combine. So, you know, maybe he added some weight here, but, you know, this was the talk all leading up to the draft. What would Devontae Smith weigh? And now we're hearing it's a little bit under that 170, and the world is just, you know, kind of unraveling. We saw someone tweet out that, you know, is he going to play in Chicago? Could he play in Detroit? Because if he goes to Chicago, that wind might just take Devontae Smith straight out of the stadium. If he plays in Green Bay, the weather elements might, you know, completely wash him out. So all jokes aside, I mean, it's literally 4 pounds, but, you know, it's crazy that we're sitting here nitpicking a guy that, you know, back in January, Jake, this was a guy who just had the greatest season for a receiver in college football history. Now we're sitting here wondering if he can even play the position after what we just saw him do in the SEC. So it's crazy, but again, it's just the times that we're in with this draft, and I just can't wait for it to end.
Something that we didn't put in our rundown, and I want to bring it up, and I'll reel it all back together. The Dolphins signed DJ Fluker, another addition to that offensive line. I believe he was in Baltimore last season, Josh. But that brought up an interesting thing, that the Dolphins are still signing guys. I'm big fan of them just adding these veterans on the offensive line. You saw last year that despite drafting Austin Jackson, Solomon Kinley, and Robert Hunt, you're still going to have injuries. You're still going to need 8 or 9 guys that can play. So I love the depth signing. But then it had me thinking, how are the Dolphins still getting all this money? I'm so confused because they're so close to that cap. And then I started thinking about guys who might be on the move. And then Jakeem Grant came into my head because that was one of the guys that everyone had to copy paste in every one of their tweets when, you know, at the beginning of a free agency, they're like, yeah, you know, we're going to sign Kenny Galladay and then we're going to cut Jakeem Grant. And that's going to be an even trade off. And, you know, they did the whole, you know, go into the grocery store while you're hungry and just pick everything out of the cart. And then I looked up Jakeem Grant, and Josh, I want to share something with you. And this might be either a positive or a negative based on what side you want to look at it from. Jakeem Grant, we've thought he might be a player who's been on that roster bubble for like 2-3 years now. So he's been like one of those fringe guys. He's 5'6", and he weighs 161 pounds. I don't think the Dolphins worry about size as much as we think.
Is it 161 or is it 171? Because I went to their site, and I think he's listed at 171 on the site, which I was scared to tweet that out because, you know, if Jakeem Grant weighs a little bit more than Devontae Smith, Twitter might unfold.
Yes, NFL.com has him at 171. You know what? I'm an amateur. I use Wikipedia. Oh my God. I'm gonna get an F on this assignment. We are doomed. We are
he plays like he's 141, and we are doomed because we came into this thing and I mean we had a rundown and we forgot the signing that they just had, Jake. I mean, so we may as well just start over from the beginning. I mean, DJ Fluker, you made a comment about the signing. I mean, he's 30 years old. We know what he does to the roster, but you're right. This is a guy who played guard last year in Baltimore. He's versatile and you know he might just come in here and compete for a starting position. So shame on us for not even mentioning Fluker, and shame on us for, I guess saying that Jakeem Grant plays like he weighs 141 pounds because he's pretty bad.
Yeah, and, you know, we're kind of joking about the Jakeem Grant thing and the size differences. And, Josh, I think the best way to really explain this is I think about the injury-prone conversations we have, right, where someone isn't injury-prone until they are, you know, and someone has the healthiest guy in the world, you know, until they aren't. Nobody has done it at Smith's weight or height before. But someone will, someone can. And if you think it's the guy who just won a Heisman, who had one of the best seasons in college football history, if you don't think he is the guy built to potentially be that player who succeeds at 6 foot, 166, it's going to be him. Like, you don't want to be that guy who, or that GM, I think, who reaches or kind of sweeps him under the rug, takes us another quote-unquote safe pick, and then Smith is that guy who dominates for 10 years, because I could certainly feel like the Dolphins being one of those teams, just based on their history, nothing about Chris Greer, I'm just saying, as a bad luck Dolphin fan, really.
Yeah, and I mean, we sit here and we talk doom and gloom all the time, and I do think some of the names thrown out there that did come into the combine on a similar weight. I think one was DeSean Jackson. We know he had success early on there in Philadelphia, and another name was Hollywood Brown, the receiver for the Baltimore Ravens. So there are some, you know, outliers there, but you mentioned it, Jake. I mean, this is a guy who, again, went out there and had the best season from a wide receiver in college football history, so there really shouldn't be a concern there. To throw it back at you, Jake, though, you know, you don't want to be the GM that sweeps him under the rug and passes him over because of what talent he could become, but Jake, would you want to be that GM at number six that passed on a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, who, you know, maybe fits that prototypical type a little bit better, or a guy like Kyle Pitts, or even Jalen Waddle? I mean, would you want to be that GM that takes the chance on a guy like Devontae Smith? You know, and we're sitting here talking about numbers, and I think that's what a lot of this is. I mean, you can put the tape on. We know Devontae Smith is as talented as a wide receiver as they come, but, you know, again, to play devil's advocate, and I'm sitting here, I love Devontae Smith. He's that one of those players I absolutely love in this draft class. But, Jake, if you're Chris Greer, would you put, you know, seemingly, and, you know, they're not putting their job on the line, but would you go out there and take a chance on Devontae Smith?
Yeah, and that's kind of the big question here, Josh. And I think it's not like it's not his career on the line here, but when you look at that Tunsil trade that happened, that can go down as one of the biggest trades in NFL history. We think of that Boston Celtics trade with the Nets, you know, eight years ago. And after that, we thought that the Boston Celtics are going to win boatloads of championships, that it was a complete heist that they stole from the Nets while trading away, you know, Kevin Garnett and that bunch. And then the Celtics didn't really do anything. And then it kind of all got swept under the rug. And the Dolphins are very close, Josh. They are, you know, if we want to go here and make one of these references, I'm going to do it. He is Thanos. He is missing one or two Infinity Stones for him to be able to snap that gauntlet and win a Super Bowl, right? And that sixth overall pick could most certainly be one of those last stones. And we just don't need someone coming in and being Iron Man and just kind of making us all not exist. I'm not going to go too deep into the superhero references, Josh, but to kind of reel us back in here, we were talking about Devontae Smith being the third overall pick in January. It's this 24-hour news cycle. It's this 365 news cycle where we run ourselves in circles and we run around the same path so many times where we peel out of it. We stop thinking something that we thought was a surefire lock. It changes, which is okay. That's how it's supposed to be. But you just kind of tire yourselves out. And I don't know where Smith's going to go, Josh, because this is what I think is so interesting. Ian Rappaport said that the Dolphins have already made two moves in the NFL draft and they may not be done. Sources say they received a lot of calls from teams looking to trade up to number six, and it is something they're considering. A little inside baseball here before I keep going. If any team's going to leak that the Dolphins are getting calls and that their pick is valuable and people are interested in it, it's the Miami Dolphins. I necessarily don't know how much stock I put into this. Obviously, I think people are going to put up, but this is exactly what you do 1 week before the draft to raise prices. This is like, Josh, when we talked about the first two trades they did, why they did it a month before the draft, because these prices get more expensive as we get closer to the draft. right? And I'm not saying the trades they did then is bad. They made the wrong moves, yada, yada, yada. But you're just trying to figure out where the smoke is coming from. And if it's a fire, you need to call the fire department for, or if it's one that is just simply a guy in his backyard burning leaves. So we need to really kind of uncover what's being said in these lines. And it just feels like it's the Dolphins hyping something up. Josh, when you saw this Rappaport tweet, what was your idea? Because I think it's really interesting. The Move the Sticks podcast, Daniel Jeremiah, other people are saying it now, but that's where I heard it first. In the same day, 24 hours, 48 hours, that the reports are coming out the Dolphins are going to drop outside of the top 10 or trade back again. Rumors are also coming out that Devontae Smith is almost a guaranteed lock. Again, like that I heard from Daniel Jeremiah, Smith will not be a top 10 pick.
Yeah, Jake, I wasn't sure where to say this, and I'm glad you brought that superhero reference, but I'm going to be completely honest, man. If you would have said that 4 weeks ago, I probably would have no idea what you were talking about, because I pushed off all these Marvel movies for so many years, and my wife and I just ran through them all. We're up to WandaVision. We just got through that. It is amazing. I am so dumb. I cannot believe I didn't watch it, so I just want to throw that out there. So thank you for bringing that Thanos reference into this. But, Jake, I mean, it makes you wonder. Okay, so Devontae Smith is going to get drafted outside the top 10. Who did the Dolphins want? I mean, if they wanted Jamar Chase, if they wanted Kyle Pitts, why would they have taken that risk and traded back from 3? Yes, we know they got an additional first-round pick. So that, to me, says that they are, you know, okay with landing, you know, a group of players, whether that be Kyle Pitts, whether that be Jamar Chase, whether it be Devontae Smith, and whether that be Jalen Waddle. You know, maybe they do grade these guys all the same, and maybe that is why there is the potential for them to trade back. I mean, to me, when I heard this, I wasn't really, you know, dumbfounded by it. To me, I was like, okay, right. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, the Dolphins are obviously going to take all phone calls and field all options, because that's what they've done since they got here. So I don't know if we should put too much stock in this. I don't know if we should take this and say, you know, the Dolphins are absolutely going to trade back. But if a quarterback falls into their lap, like some of us are anticipating, you're damn right they're going to take a King's ransom to move back 2-3 spots. You know, I have written here, Denver perhaps. I mean, Denver needs a quarterback. They're over Drew Lock, I believe. If they saw Trey Lance slipping, if they saw Justin Fields slipping, which, I mean, we're not even going to talk about the seizure rumors that are coming out now, or the epilepsy. I mean, who knows what could happen in this draft? If a quarterback falls there that a team truly covets and, you know, believes is going to be their franchise altering quarterback, you're damn right Chris Greer is going to listen to every phone call that comes his way, and he's going to do what's best for the Miami Dolphins. So I guess don't know who the target is, and I think since this new regime is in place, that's just the way it is. Again, I remember up until the draft last year, a lot of people were still saying, okay, they're passing on Tua, they're going to get an offensive lineman. Some people thought they were getting Justin Herbert. No one seriously knows what's going on, but this leads into a Charles Robinson tweet, the Yahoo Sports NFL analyst. He tweeted out the other day, and this was yesterday, I don't think there's been any team in the NFL that has floated more draft misdirection over the last 2 years than the Miami Dolphins. It was all Kyle Pitts. Now it's trade down scenarios. So the trade down scenarios thing is in line with what Albert Breer is saying. But Jake, first, it's all Kyle Pitts. I mean, that's news to me. I know the fan base loves Kyle Pitts. I know all the analysts love Kyle Pitts. But Jake, I mean, except it wasn't up Peter until Schrager. A couple weeks. Except Peter Schrager does not like Kyle Pitts in Miami. He did not like that move at all. You're right. But Jake, I mean, that was news to me. And, you know, it makes you wonder, is Kyle Pitts target? Is a trade down the target? Again, no one knows. But that was the first I heard. Kyle Pitts was their target from the day one.
I don't think the Dolphins necessarily know who they're going to pick yet. And I don't mean that in a bad way, Josh. I kind of want to look at it in this scenario. Being at 6, you know that the first 3 picks, locked and loaded, are quarterbacks. And then you're thinking to yourself, well, I want either Jamar Chase or Kyle Pitts. Those are my 2 guys. And you're sitting there as a Dolphins fan saying, why the hell would you trade then? You just sit at 3. You're getting greedy taking a 2023 pick. But I'm not the biggest math guy, Josh. But if 3 quarterbacks go in the first 3 spots, Jamar Chase goes 5, let's say 4, it doesn't matter, and Kyle Pitts goes 5. The Dolphins are sitting there at 6 with the other quarterbacks there. Someone is going to trade up to that spot if it's going to go Jamar Chase and Kyle Pitts in picks 4 and 5. That's just how the draft's going to go out. And I think the Dolphins are really open to anything. I think that's their safety blanket. If, you know, the Falcons decide we're going to ride with Matt Ryan, we're going to get him more weapons. And then the Bengals come out and say, Joe Burrow, we need to get him more weapons. I think the Dolphins know that's a possibility. I don't think they'd sit there at 6 thinking, oh no, if one of our 2 guys aren't there, what are we going to do? These ideas of them taking these different receivers are coming out because I think the Dolphins are really open to trading back down. I don't think it's what they want to do first and foremost, but it is potentially an idea, a potential opportunity direction for them to go in. Josh, I'm a little interested to see what evolves not only at that sixth overall pick, but in the first round in general. I saw that, I think it was Adam Beasley reported that the Dolphins, if they do trade back down, they're going to be more aggressive with other picks, right? That's one thing we kind of complained about, quote-unquote, last year, is we wish they moved up for the DeAndre Swifts in the world or whoever it may be because they had the cap space to do it, or cap space, the draft picks, excuse me, to do it. But first, Beasley came out and said that the Dolphins might try to move back up into that first round with pick 36, I believe it is, if they see a guy there that they really like, which I thought was interesting that he jumped from pick 36 instead of going to pick 18. And to build on that, Barry Jackson tweeted out a little while ago, he asked NFL draft analyst Daniel Jeremiah what his dream scenario would be for the Dolphins at 6 and 18. Jeremiah said Kyle Pitts at 6 and Michigan edge Quiddy Pay at 18. So, Josh, a couple things to think about here. One, could you see the Dolphins having 3 first-round picks this year? And two, I don't see no running back in this first round.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the biggest surprise here is that running back thing. I mean, I love the trade up from 36, and I think that's something that we talked about on previous podcasts, and that's something that I think we'd all like to see this year. You know, if Micah Parsons is falling there close to the 12, 13, 14 range, why not use one of those later draft picks and trade up and get that player that you believe can transcend that defense? So lots of options here. I love it, but as far as I'm concerned, you know, Kyle Pitts at 6, that is, to me, you know, the perfect draft pick. And then at 18, I mean, that's where it's a little bit up in the air. I know I really want to talk about this more next week, but you know, they got Quiddy Pay here. I guess that's probably his edge one. To me, it's Jalen Phillips. I mean, if you can figure out that his concussions, and you know, we both mocked him in our mock drafts, but if he gets a clean bill of health, Jalen Phillips and those concussions are okay, that to me could be the most explosive pass rusher in this draft class. So again, lots of decisions here, Jake, but I think, you know, if the Dolphins were to do this and they do pass on a running back on day one, they better find a way to get that running back on day two, because like we said, that would be that to me would be the biggest sin in this draft, is not walking away with one of these running backs that we believe that can truly transcend that backfield. So this to me, I mean, Daniel Jeremiah is as well respected as anyone, so I'm 100% with him with Kyle Pitts. And again, Michigan edge Quiddy Pay, there's nothing wrong with that. And we got to throw out the Michigan lines here, right? Yep. Because we know Stephen Ross, I think he's still paying some of those bills up there, so anything could happen. But I think the Dolphins are feeling pretty good with where they're at, Jake. If there's anything else you want to say about the 6 and 18th pick, speak now or forever hold your peace, because I think we need to jump into an ad.
Josh, I was going to think the same thoughts as you. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to talk Ravens general manager Eric DaCosta calling the NFL draft a luck-driven process, Ryan Fitzpatrick feeling like an asshole, and Chris Greer's quotes headed up into the draft. So stay tuned for that. So, Josh, we can talk about how much time NFL scouts, how much time Miami Dolphins scouts, Chris Greer, all these guys spend watching film. But I thought it was really interesting that Baltimore Ravens general manager came out with some, Eric DaCosta is his name. He took over for Ozzie Newsome, who was one of the best GMs in NFL history. And he had some interesting input, I thought, to the NFL draft. And I wanted to add it here because the Dolphins are in a spot that I think parallels what DaCosta is really trying to accomplish. He said that he looks at the draft in many different ways, and he thinks that it's a luck-driven process. If you have more picks, you're going to hit on more players. That math kind of checks out for me. And it goes back to the philosophy that I think Ozzie started in 1996. We started to really going after picks and trading back as much as we could in any given round. We've had some success. We've also had some big misses. We've had a lot of picks, and I think that's the number one indicator to see teams who have success in the draft. So, Josh, I just thought this was cool to bring up because this kind of goes back to the idea of we can kick and scream about all these different guys at 6. And you could take Ja'Marr Chase at 6 and Jalen Waddle could go at 18. You could say that they're both great values and then Waddle goes on to the better career. It's just how the, you know, the dominoes kind of fall. But when you kind of hear these quotes, what does that make you think about the process? Do you feel that the Dolphins should have maybe stayed at 12 to have that extra first round pick next year? Should they still be trying to trade down? Or are you kind of like me, where you hear this, you understand it, you want to agree with it, but at the same time, you just look at someone at that number 6 spot, but how fantastic, how elite they could be, like a Kyle Pitts, like a Ja'Marr Chase, and ignore that, ignore the statistics, and just shoot for those stars?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the whole trust the process mode. You know, I mean, I don't think we can sit here and really evaluate this until we see how everything plays out. To me, the biggest thing would be, you know, where does Devontae Smith fall? If he was their target and they traded back up there, they give up that additional pick and he falls down there to pick 12. I mean, we know Dolphins fans are going to be upset. If Jaylen Waddle was their target, and same thing, you know, we're all going to find a way to play the Chicken Little sky is falling. But for me, I don't see any issue with it. I think the Dolphins, again, Chris Greer knew that there was a player in that top 10 that they were going to get. We knew when they made the trade up that he believed, like you said at the beginning of this podcast, you know, four quarterbacks were probably going those first five picks. So if you do the math and that truly does fall the way, you know, some people expect, that would give the Dolphins Kyle Pitts, Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, or Jaylen Waddle. And, you know, at that point, I think you made out pretty well. So again, I think we'll see the way this plays out, but the Dolphins phone will obviously be ringing off the hook if one of those quarterbacks falls mercifully into their lap. Jake, I sat in on this, and you know the biggest thing that came from this, and you know it's kind of the biggest thing that comes from all of these, is what Chris Greer said about their quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. And anytime they have one of these press conferences, he has to bring up Tua Tagovailoa, and this is what he said. Communication has been great this offseason. He's been around. He's been working hard. He's working with the wide receivers. He's a very competitive kid. Coming off the injury, no OTAs, no camp, and being just thrown in, it's a hard transition. He's healthy now. He's working very hard. He's going to take the next step. He's been a winner everywhere he's been. So, Jake, again, in this process, we're so far along that the Dolphins have no choice but to honestly say it to Tua Tagovailoa as their guy. But, you know, we see the thirsty images that are posted with him just looking swole, balked up. This is great to hear from Chris Greer. What are your thoughts about what he said about Tua Tagovailoa's work this offseason?
It's franchise talk. You're obviously going to back your guy 100%. You're going to say the right things. We've heard the right things from Tua as well. So, I mean, it's no news is good news on the Tua front. Obviously, you can take these headlines, and if you go to the Finsider, I'm sure you could find stories about it. But for me, I don't really see anything too noteworthy here. You expect them to back their guy. And it's important to remember that he's coming off the injury. There was no OTAs. Those are really important facts to put in. It makes Justin Herbert's year last year more impressive. But it also makes there a bunch of areas where these guys can grow in that they didn't get a focus on last season. So this jump, we always talk about the year one to year two jump. This is going to be another level. And Josh, just to kind of put it into perspective, I mean, I think it was Saturday that Dolphins-Cardinals game was on NFL Network. And I've watched that game four or five times at this point because it was such an exciting outing. You know, that's what we saw, Tua's full potential, what he can really be. If he can develop that consistently, he's going to be a major threat. But I saw four or five people live tweeting that game like they were watching it for the second time. And that's just kind of, you forget about these things in the offseason, how exciting it was at the time to see him come out and ball uncontrollably. So that was kind of exciting to see. It was nice to see us fans have that energy in the offseason when it's not yelling about how, you know, Peter Traeger had the Dolphins drafting a lineman sixth in a mock draft. But continuing on here with Greer, he said, you highlighted here that there were a number of teams calling about trading up to number three, and they were comfortable moving. And San Francisco was very aggressive. There's no really surprise there. And then Greer added, we decided it was important to get up in that top 10. And Josh, it kind of goes to what you were saying earlier. I think the Dolphins want to control their own destiny. Will they have the chance to trade back down if they really want to? Sure, but as of right now, you'd rather be at the spot at six where you have the opportunity to choose your lane instead of, you know, having that street picked for you with the other one being under construction and the other one, you know, you have three school buses you have to drive through.
That was a wonderful analogy. One of my favorite parts about the Chris Greer press conference is when he was asked, you know, how he felt about that move up to six. You know, some of the national media sitting here saying that maybe the Dolphins gave up a little more than they had to. And what Greer said was absolutely perfect. He said, I don't think we view it like that. We still have four picks in the first two rounds. We view it completely different. We feel very good about it. And we also added a lot of stuff for the future. He then went on to name every single draft pick that the Miami Dolphins got out of this trade. It was the perfect mic drop, and it was just a testament to, you know, who Chris Greer is, because he had that little smug smile on his face, and you just love to see it.
So we've had some Tua talk, and it wouldn't be right to have a little Ryan Fitzpatrick talk as well. He was recently on the Green Light podcast with Chris Long, and he just kind of sent out a text here. This is a little clickbaity. I'm reading it on a radio station's website here, so that kind of shows. So Fitzpatrick was on the podcast, and he was talking about Alex Smith. He goes, he was picked number one, I was picked number 250, but he was always really nice to me going through the draft process, Fitzpatrick said, referring to the 2005 draft class. When Alex broke his leg in that game a few years ago, I had a thought that I had a similar injury. I fractured my tibia in 2014 with the Houston Texans. And so the single worst text I've ever sent out, I sent to Alex. Ryan Fitzpatrick told him, "Hey, Alex, I just wanted to let you know that they'll fix you right up. You'll be good as new. I'm out here, and I don't feel any pain from my knee injury 3 years later," or whatever it was. And I sent that, and I felt good about it. And he said, "Oh, mine might be a little more complicated." And 17 surgeries later, and the story of what he had to overcome, I mean, I felt like the biggest asshole ever. It's so genuine of Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I love him sharing this story because genuine Ryan Fitzpatrick, because you know there was no harm in it. You know he was just trying to give Smith some words of confidence, but you just kind of walk out of that conversation having egg all over your face.
Yeah, he's got egg all over his face. I mean, I don't even know. I didn't hear that story, but that's wonderful. And, you know, it's kind of, again, like you said, just how, I guess, naive and, you know, mischievous.
I think we never knew how serious the Smith injury was until we saw the documentaries afterwards, until we hear, you know, he almost lost his life, all these crazy things. So, and I mean, Fitzpatrick was in the same boat. You know, you hear about a bad leg injury and, you know, you hear the worst right away. And, you know, this was Fitzpatrick thinking, all right, I'm going to sit here and boost his confidence until you hear that it actually was the worst. And you don't need to boost his confidence because he knows just how bad it was. And it's just kind of one of those stories that you kind of hear, you chuckle a little bit. And it makes you remember why you love Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he's just always genuine. He's always a good guy. And shout out Alex Smith. He decided to retire after a very interesting career. Being a fifth grader in 2005, he was one of those guys I really grew up with. He's always kind of been around the NFL. So, you know, we wish him the best at what he does. Josh, I think we need to apologize to everyone. It's been a little while since we've done a podcast. And I think the only thing I have, instead of going through, you know, excuses or whatever it may be, if there's time for us to kind of take our foot off the gas a little bit, it's this time of the year. There's nothing to talk about. I don't know if I can sit here and rant about Jalen Waddle going 6th overall anymore or Devontae Smith falling out of the top 10. It gets a little tiring after a while.
It does, and we're just thankful that all of our listeners, you know, do tune in and listen. You gave a shout-out to Alex Smith, and I have to echo that. I mean, the incredible comeback that he did to go out there and play last year, I mean, it was just incredible to see, and I wish him nothing but the best in his retirement. Two things we didn't touch on that, again, shame on us. May 12th at 8 p.m., the NFL schedule will officially be released, so, you know, mark your DVR for that. Everyone's going to get excited over, you know, which game they might go to, the division rivals. Something that we all look forward to. And then another rule change was made today, and they are going to allow, you know, running backs and wide receivers to use some of those single numbers like you see in college. So times are changing. But, well, Jake, I think both of us can agree that we're just glad that we are now, what, 8 days away from the 2021 NFL draft. And not before long, we won't be talking about which prospects the Dolphins might draft, but how these prospects fit into what the Miami Dolphins are building.
Yeah, and one final thing, keep in mind, Chris Greer said that players aren't drafted as starters. It's a developmental process. Keep that in mind. And to leave you guys out, I want to say, hit that subscribe button if you like what you're listening to. Subscriptions really help us. If you have a couple seconds, leave us a review. Give us your thoughts. That stuff really energizes us. And it's important to kind of get some feedback and understand what we're doing well, what we could improve on. And let's close with this. The CBS draft grades of some of my favorite Miami Dolphins from the 2020 NFL draft. Noah Igbinoghene got an A+. Brandon Jones got a D+. Raekwon Davis got a D+. And Curtis Weaver, A+. So keep that in mind as we get closer to draft week. How we're going to feel over the next week isn't going to last too long. It's a process. Everyone develops. Trades happen. So let's keep that in mind. Let's ride into the future. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time. And most importantly, fins up.
Fins up, everyone. Go Dolphins.
That was Finsider Radio, part of the Finsider.com and the SB Nation Network.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Everybody, Miami.